I'm speaking today with Chris Turner, candidate for House District 96 up in Tarrant County. Chris, first thing I always like to ask candidates is, why are you running for this seat?
Well, great, Charles. Thank you for taking the time to interview me today. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the campaign. Charles, I'm running for the legislature because I think, as a lifelong Texan, someone who cares deeply about this state, I think we need change in Austin. I think we need to bring more partnership and less partisanship to our state government in Austin. And I think, as a proud Texan, as someone who cares a lot about this state, I'm very concerned about the direction our state government has been headed in these last several years under the leadership of Tom Craddock. I think we've let the people of Texas down. I think we failed them on critical issues such as education, health care, transportation, air quality, and others. So I think we need change, and I think that as a member of the legislature, I can be the voice for positive change in our state government.
Now, you have worked in the past for Congressman Chet Edwards. Tell me a little bit about what you did for him.
Sure. I worked for Congressman Edwards for 8 years. I managed his last four campaigns, which, as you know, were some of the toughest congressional campaigns anywhere in the country during those time periods, including the 2004 race following the Tom DeLay redistricting in 2003. And of course, Chet was the only member of Congress was targeted in the general election to win election that year, in spite of redistricting. So I'm proud of that work. I also served as Chet's district director, which I served in that position until February of this year when I left to focus on this campaign. And in that position, I had the opportunity to oversee three offices and staff, serve our constituents, and work with local officials, business leaders, and people on both sides and both parties to focus in on projects that were important to local communities, important to our state, whether it's transportation or water quality or things of that nature. So it was a great experience, and Congressman Edwards is a great mentor and someone who I just respect a lot. I think he really sets a fine example for those in public service.
As you say, he's kind of the poster child for Democrats winning in heavily Republican areas. What did that teach you, and how can you apply that to this race?
Sure. Well, I think the lesson from Chet's races, and that I think we're going to put to work in this race, is that voters care a lot more about the issues and how someone works on the issues and stands on the issues and works on behalf of their district than they care about partisan politics. And that's why in Chet's case, you have a high number of independent voters and Republican voters who cross over to support him because they think he does a good job for his district. I think in my race, I think that we'll see a number of independent and Republican voters cross over to support me. I want to earn their support because I think that my opponent's voting record is out of step with the mainstream of this district, whether you're a Democrat, an independent, or even a Republican. On a number of the issues that I've already mentioned, but education, healthcare, the economy, and others, I think that his record has been out of step. And I think that candidates who focus on their district, their state, or the country first and put that above partisan politics can succeed in forming those bipartisan coalitions. And those that don't, who simply cater to a fringe of their own party, such as my opponent does, I think can't put together that kind of coalition.
Let's talk a little bit about some of these issues. Education, obviously, has been and will continue to be a big issue. The legislature recently did what was called school finance reform, but was really putting aside a lot of money for property tax cuts. And schools, of course, are suffering like everyone is with higher gas and energy prices and food prices. Going forward, what needs to be done in the legislature to put school finance on a firmer footing and to solve some of these problems that school districts are facing?
Well, I think it's a sham that this legislature, with my opponent's vote and support, passed a so-called school finance bill that provides not one new net dime of funding for local public schools. And this is a critical problem in the district I'm running in southern Tarrant County, because we have a number of high-growth school districts, Mansfield, Arlington, Crowley, just to name a few, that are experiencing rapid enrollment growth, up to 10% a year in some cases. And the funding formulas don't really compensate for the challenges, the unique challenges those high-growth school districts have. And furthermore, as you alluded to, it locks them in at whatever they were getting in 2005, 2006, or 2006, 2007. So I think it's a funding formula that just sort of defies reality. As you said, inflationary pressures are incredible right now, between the cost of transportation, fuel, the rising construction costs for high-growth school districts that have to build new facilities, food, cost of living, everything else is going up, but this plan just assumes that none of that's going to take place. Well, that's not the real world, and that's not the real economy. So I think our state government let us down on that issue, and I think we need to go back in. We need to look at all the options, but I think that I don't have a silver bullet solution today, but I think that we need to acknowledge that this funding formula is inadequate, and it's not sufficient to give our kids the best education in the world, which is what I think they deserve. And we need to figure out how to get schools more resources. And I'll tell you one other thing that related to this that has not helped, and that's the countless unfunded mandates that come down from the state government. They have no problem passing a funding formula that doesn't give school districts any real new money. At the same time, they have no problem passing all kinds of unfunded mandates down on local school districts that stretch their resources and stretch us as local property taxpayers even further. So I think that's got to be stopped.
Okay. Related to that is the cost of higher education. As you know, the legislature passed a law to allow the state universities to set their own tuition levels, and they have done so at increasingly high levels. This has now caused quite a bit of backlash. Do you believe that tuition deregulation law should be repealed or modified, or what do you think should be done?
Well, I think we have to do something. As you say, because of tuition deregulation, because of two things, the legislature consistently underfunding our colleges and universities, and then simply throwing up their hands saying we give up and deregulating tuition, we've seen tuition and fees go up on average over 40% in Texas in the last 5 years. The result of that has been that we've priced the cost of a college education out of reach for a lot of hardworking middle-class students who would be deserving of going to a four-year college or university in Texas. And that's wrong, and that's a problem. I think what the solution is going to have to be is that the legislature is going to have to find a way to renew its commitment to higher education. We can't continue to walk away and say, we don't have the funding. I think one time Texas had some of the most affordable public universities of anywhere in the country, and that was a real crowning achievement for our state, because the state put serious investments into our public universities. I think we need to go back to that. And I don't know whether or not we could return to regulated tuition. I'm not advocating that at this point, but I think what would have to happen is if the legislature did put in more funding for colleges and universities, there needs to be a very clear signal sent to the schools that with that funding we have an expectation that tuition and fees are going to be much more affordable for Texas families.
On the subject of health care, I mean, the main battles there have had to do with SCHIP and with Medicare. The legislature did take some steps in rolling back the cuts to CHIP that were imposed in 2003 under more austere budgetary times. Now that there's a budget surplus, what do you want to see happen with CHIP?
Well, I think we need to fully restore CHIP because the legislature took some, what I think really are baby steps last time, did partial restoration, but there's still over 100,000 fewer children insured today than there were in 2003. And our population hasn't shrunk in Texas in the last 5 years. Our population has increased. So the fact remains that Texas has the highest percentage of uninsured children of any state in the country. And I think that's abysmal, and I think it's unconscionable that we have had that distinction, and we've allowed that to remain the case for the last several years. I think we need to do more to ensure kids of working families. So I support fully restoring CHIP to its 2003 levels. And not only, as you say, is the do we have a surplus for to make that possible, but the law that Arlene Wohlgemuth wrote and Bill Zedler voted for that cut at that time over 200,000 kids off of CHIP, it didn't save us any money. It cost us money. Because the fact is, the truth is, by CHIP is a matching program where every dollar the state spends, the federal government puts in over $2.50. So Texas has forfeited nearly $1 billion in federal funds over the last 5 years in lost CHIP money. And that's not money that went back into taxpayers' pockets. That's money that the federal government sent to other states, New York and California. It got spent. We're not getting our fair share in Texas because of the actions of the legislature being short-sighted. And so I think it's fiscally irresponsible, and it's very irresponsible from a public health standpoint.
As you know, the U.S. Supreme Court recently upheld a law in Indiana that allowed for requiring voters to have to produce a picture ID when they go to vote. It's very controversial in Texas, as you know, in the last session, and Senator Mario Gallegos literally put his life on the line to prevent such a law from being passed here. Where do you stand on this issue? What will you do in the House if such a bill comes up?
Well, I think with respect to the Indiana law, you know, just because the Supreme Court has ruled something is constitutional doesn't necessarily mean it's necessary. And I have grave concerns over what we saw in the recent Indiana primary, where Catholic nuns, were denied the right to vote even because they produced a passport that had expired, and you had a Notre Dame student, apparently, who had an Illinois driver's license, a photo ID, but they said that wouldn't count, and she was denied her right to vote. So I think there's some real dangers there when things like that happen. I think, obviously, if there is fraudulent voting going on, we need to stop it, and we need to make sure that only qualified registered voters are eligible to vote, are able to vote. But the fact is, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think that the Attorney General and Republican members of the legislature who've been pushing this have really been able to produce any documentation of voter impersonation in the state of Texas. And so I think that I have a lot of concerns about when government wants to pass laws to solve problems that they can't demonstrate actually exist. And to me, it seems like an unnecessary law in the absence of documented instances of voter impersonation. And so I think if we had instances where people were voting who were not who they say they were, then obviously we got to do something about that. But that hasn't been the case. And I think fundamentally, right to vote is guaranteed in our Constitution. It's a sacred American right, and I don't favor creating new obstacles for people who may not have a photo ID. If you're an elderly person, never driven, a lot of people fall in that category. I think it could create an unnecessary hardship for certain members of our state, people in our state.
Immigration has always been in the news quite a bit lately, certainly up in the Dallas area. A couple of cities have taken some action that has been litigated. What, if anything, do you think the state legislature should be doing on the issue of immigration? Most people say it's a federal issue, but there's always a lot of talk about it in the state legislature. What's your position on this?
Well, I think the state has every right to enforce its border, our southern border with Mexico. Because, frankly, by any objective analysis, the federal government has failed in that regard over these last several years. And so Texas has a right and a responsibility, I think, to step in that category. So I support what the legislature did in the last session by directing $100 million into enhanced border security. And I think that probably we should go further. I think we should be very aggressive about policing our borders, because not only is it an illegal immigration issue, it's also a crime and a drugs issue. And we have a duty to protect our border and fight drug dealers and gang members who may be coming over. So I think that is the most appropriate role for the state of Texas. And then I think fundamentally, the larger immigration issue, it is a national problem. And I think that the Congress and the next administration are going to have to grapple with this issue and finally come to some sort of solution. I hope that that's done in a bipartisan manner.
As you know, also over in Dallas, there's been a lot of people recently getting freed from jail after having served many years on crimes that had turned out they didn't commit. DNA evidence that had been preserved ultimately freed them. There's been some talk amongst some legislators, more on the Senate side, and I believe there was a bill that did not make it through the House last time to establish an innocence commission that would be empowered to move that process through. Is that something you would support?
Well, I strongly support what's been going on in Dallas County under the direction of the new DA, where they have really opened up their files and looked and used DNA evidence to determine if people who were convicted were actually guilty, and they found in many instances, sadly, that there are people who have been serving long, long sentences who were innocent of the crimes they were convicted of, and thankfully they've been released. And I want for our state to be aggressive in ensuring that we don't have innocent people in jail serving time for crimes that they did not commit. So I think whatever we have to do to ensure that only those who are guilty are actually serving prison sentences, I think we need to do that. I don't know that I haven't been able to see the details of the specific proposal, so I'd like to be able to read the specific proposal before I said, you know, if I'd support that particular proposal or not. But bottom line, if there's innocent people in jail, we need to find out who they are and release them.
If you get elected, what's the first bill that you'd like to write?
Right. Well, it's a good question, because there are a lot of issues that I care a lot about, a lot of issues that I think are important to our district and to our state. But I think if there's one bill above all else that I think is just critically important to our district and our whole state, whether I'd write it or be a co-author on it, it would be to fully restore the Children's Health Insurance Program. I think that, again, it's just unconscionable. We have the highest percentage of uninsured children of any state in the country, and we're sacrificing hundreds of millions of federal dollars that are going to other states by not participating more fully in this program. We've got to fix that, and that would be a top priority for me.
All right. Chris Turner, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.